Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Today is Friday, June 29th. When we come back on Monday, it's going to be July, Danny.
I know. Wait, isn't it going to be July, like 4th, this weekend?
Wednesday. Yeah, on Sunday.
Yeah.
And then Wednesday is July 4th.
Oh, rent is due, everyone, on Sunday.
Oh, okay. Thanks for reminding us, you know. It's like if you guys can't remember your rent date, you got to listen to the show.
Yeah.
Because Danny will remind you.
And we still
you.
Don't have a roommate for move-in date on July 1st.
Oh, my God. That sucks, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So you're stuck with all the rent pretty much?
Uh-huh.
Yeah?
No, it's not just my name on the lease, boo-boo.
No, I know, but you're short one person.
Yeah,
right?
But that's not our issue. That's why they collect security deposits. You better put a security deposit towards her mom's rent that she's not going to be paying.
Oh, really? Is that how it works?
I think so. I don't know. I'm not really stressed about it.
You're all responsible for it. If there's no person there, you still have to pay.
No, her name is on the lease. She's responsible for her rent.
Yeah, but aren't you like responsible as a group?
No, I don't know how that works.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
She emailed them yesterday, and they told her if you don't pay, you're fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not really stressed about it.
Okay, well, good.
I'm just chilling.
I hope there's no surprises for you.
And even if there is, go whatever, it is what it is. What can I do about it now? I don't want to rush the process. Like, I don't want the 2018 Amanda Knox moving in with me and, right, like, chopping my body up in a million pieces just because I was rushing the process.
I see. Okay. We want you in one piece.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I don't want to live with a psychopath. Let's take our time with this. Like, people have been writing me, and every single person, I'm like, nah. Don't even bother coming to look at the apartment.
Really?
I could just tell off one conversation.
How can you tell?
Yeah, just like the vibe.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, so.
Why don't you do an Airbnb out of it? But you can't because you guys are there, right?
Yeah, and we can get kicked out for that.
Really?
You can't sublease at all.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Very interesting. Okay, well, you know, so you're fucked this month.
Yeah, pretty much. Happy July, folks.
Yeah, there you go. Welcome the second half of the year.
Yeah. I can't believe it. I feel like I was just turning 30. Now it's July.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Well, you'll be turning 31 soon.
Thanks, Sam. Thank you so much for that.
You still got plenty of time. Come on, relax.
Yeah. I cried like all night.
You did?
Yeah.
What happened? Oh.
About my dog.
Oh.
I'm like so attached to it. I can't even tell you. And I was like walking him last night.
Uh-huh.
And I got in the elevator and there was a guy in the elevator eating a yogurt. And I was like weeping. He goes, oh my God, are you okay? I was like, yeah, I'm just crying about my foster dog. He goes, why? I was like, because I'm just thinking about how awful his life must have been.
Yeah.
They think he's 3, but he's definitely like 6 or 7, Sam.
Really?
Like, he's old. I think they're promoting him as 3 so people would be more interested in adopting him.
Yeah.
I'm like, he's 6 or 7
years old. That's terrible. So you adopt him. What the hell?
He already got adopted or I would.
Oh, okay. So don't cry for him.
But the lady that adopted him is his foster mom before me, and I'm watching him because she went on vacation.
Right.
She hasn't texted me once to ask how he's doing. That's not like
trusting you.
Yeah, but don't you want to know how your dog is doing?
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe she's busy.
Hmm.
Yeah. That's what she took a foster person for. And so you don't have to, she doesn't have to worry about it all the time.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, it's not like it's a baby, come on. But I guess for her it must be.
Right.
People that own dogs, they do treat them like babies.
Yeah, sometimes. I treat my dogs back home like they're like my children.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on, hop in the car, put your seatbelt on.
In a few minutes, we're going to be joined by our guest. We have a fun guest today. She seems a lot of fun, so we'll see in just a moment. Do you have any, have you seen The Red Sparrow yet that I recommended
to you? I watched
the
whole thing last night.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
What did you think?
I thought it was so good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It was good,
I definitely recommend people watching that, yeah.
Now, that nude scene, do you think it was her or do you think it was a body double?
I think there was a body double.
Really?
Yeah, I think her breasts are a little bigger than that.
Oh, but wait a minute. No, the frontal had to be her. How do you do like a body double on a frontal scene?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
But it's possible.
Yeah.
Anything's possible.
I mean, if they show the frontal, then the one from the back is definitely...
I mean, her body looks great.
It does. Like, it looks great.
Stunt double or not, both of them look fantastic. Yeah.
But this movie was a bit sexual, though, don't you think?
I feel like that part of the movie focused on everything.
Like, I mean, then she was with the guy, turning him on in the bar, and then...
So you got that
and
far.
Then banging the other guy.
How far did you get? Did you finish it?
Almost to the end. No.
Okay, you didn't finish it. No. How do you possibly start a spy movie and then like watch it in intervals?
Because I get very restless. I can't sit there for 2 hours, I'm telling you.
That's so crazy.
And I'm used to it because I read books, and that's how you read books. You know, you don't finish the whole thing in one sitting. So I've gotten used to taking stories in spurts.
Like, I was typing emails when I was watching that movie, and I had to literally close my computer so I could focus on the movie.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine, like, stopping it for, like, a day or two and then coming back.
I know.
But it was really good.
Well, it's okay. I don't think it's great, but maybe it'll change or something. Maybe it'll turn it. Reminds me a lot of old, like, Jason Bourne movies, you know?
Jason Bourne had more action.
Right, yeah. But, yeah, that's right. Maybe that's why this movie's kind of slow.
It's slow. Yeah. I mean, I will say that it's slow, but I like the ending.
Yeah, okay, good. So I'm looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, let's bring in our guest right now. We're joined by Julie Nathanson. Welcome to the show, Julie.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Of course. And she sounds like a little girl, but she's not, right? She's the queen of voices.
I wouldn't say she sounds like a little girl.
I was just kidding.
Depends on what they're paying me for.
Right, yeah. That's true. That's very true.
That's true, yeah. And we're saying that because you are a voice actress, right?
It's true.
And you're also a singer-songwriter.
Also true.
So we'll talk about all that. What's a voice actress? Tell us a little bit about that.
So when you hear commercials on the radio and see them on TV, the voices that you can't see selling you products, those are voice actors.
Okay.
Unless they're celebrities, then that's a whole other story. Uh-huh. But for animated films and television programs and a lot of video games these days, we're all just behind the scenes putting
that's
the voices
true, right?
to the characters.
The characters are not human.
That's cool.
And then you come in and you make them human and stuff. Yeah. Very interesting. So so obviously animation and stuff is something that you probably do a lot, right?
Yeah, I do.
So you do video games too, you just mentioned?
A ton of video games. It's really, really fun.
I'm sure.
Yeah, when I first started, that wasn't a thing.
Right.
Right.
I started years ago in New York, and it was mostly commercials. I think my first job was for Lifetime Television doing promos for them.
I love Lifetime.
And it was so perky back then. It was so far beyond where they are now, which is like in the crime drama stuff.
Yeah.
And this was like The Place, The Wire, Two Blind Dates, The Place on Lifetime, as you are. Like just really perky and adorable. And now it's not so perky. Yeah.
No, it's like, and then find out who gets killed.
Yeah, exactly. Who's been murdered in their sleep.
Right.
Coming up on Lifetime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's literally what it's like. I love me some Lifetime on Sundays when I'm hungover. Perfect.
I think that's actually why they started the network.
Yeah
probably for people like
Sunday.
You. Yeah.
Yes, pretty much. But yeah, a lot of video games now, and it's a trip. I love it.
Yeah. So, well, we'll find out more about this and how you got into it, but... first, you said you're from the East Coast. Where in
it's
the East?
True.
New York?
No, actually, right outside Philadelphia.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Is that pretty close to Boston?
No.
No, right?
Nope.
Because that whole area up there, the Northeast, I don't know what's going on.
It's like
there.
A 10-hour drive.
Yeah.
10-11-hour drive.
And really, in Thanksgiving time, it's a lot longer.
Right.
I went to school in Boston.
Right.
And it's, you guys had it even colder than we did.
Oh, yeah.
It was freezing
in Boston.
And wicked cold, I
yeah.
would say. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, what do I know? It's just like, you know, on the West Coast, it's like there's just a bunch of states there, and you know they're there, but you don't know where each one is.
Right.
Me, at least.
Yeah. So geography is lost once you're on the West Coast.
Right.
There's
exactly.
just no more geography.
Yeah, because, I mean, here on the East Coast, on the West Coast, all we have is 2-3 states, and that's it, you know? Over
on the
there,
West
it's a million.
Coast, isn't there a lot
that's
of...
That's where we are.
Yeah, I know.
We have California, Oregon, and Washington. That's it. You
that's
know,
all that's the West Coast?
Yeah.
That's like that's really just the edge, really the perimeter
right.
of the West Coast.
Texas right. is not considered West Coast, right? That's Midwest.
Don't ask her about geography. She's totally off. Texas is in the middle of the fucking country.
Yeah, so
and
what
in
is
the
it?
South,
to be
it's
fair,
very far from
of,
here.
But to be fair, parts of Texas are toward the west.
Yeah. So
I guess it depends on how you look at it.
Like
Come
when
on.
I was driving
Nobody
across
ever
the country.
Said Texas is west coast.
Yeah, I guess. But when I was driving across the country, when I got to Texas, I was like, okay, I'm almost to Cali.
Yeah, no. Not even close.
It was like 20 hours.
That's halfway. Yeah, that's halfway from New York.
Guys, all I want to do is make a reality show where the two of you have to do a road trip. Right, like right now, I'm already producing it in my head.
Right, right.
It's hilarious.
Yeah. No,
we wouldn't make it past like 4 hours.
I'm telling you, I know my shit. It's just that little spot in the northeast.
Well, whatever. Three states in the west coast. Moving on.
Yeah. But she's terrible with the geography. I mean, she thinks, you thought London was a country, right? Or Paris.
I really wish everyone could see
you
spit out your coffee.
Yeah. I don't remember that, but I thought Chicago was a state.
Yeah, exactly. Chicago was a state. Yeah, that's when this guy really cracked up on Facebook when he said that.
Yeah.
That's okay.
That's early.
We're not all strong in geography,
no.
You know? But that's okay. We still love you here, so there you go.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That's part of your, you know, magic, you mm-hmm. know? It's just that. You don't know where you are.
Well, I know I'm in California, Sam.
Thank well, that's
you.
Good. That's good. At least you know that. Do you know what the year it is?
It's 2018.
I don't think anyone can forget that these days.
No.
Yeah. Mm-mm. So if you're just joining us, we're joined by Julie Nathanson, singer-songwriter. We're going to get to your music. I'm curious as to your singing abilities. And so you grew up in Philly. What was that like? Do you have siblings?
I have no siblings.
So you're an only child.
An only child.
Wow.
Yeah, but
I don't know if I would like that.
You know, no. it's funny. There's a really cool book. I think it's called One and Only that dispels some of the myths of being an only child.
Right.
I think when, you know, back in the day, the idea was to sort of promote having more than one child. So a lot of these myths were put on the only child syndrome.
Right.
I'm sure some of us are more selfish than others. I feel like I'm pretty community minded. but, you know, it's just kind of a different thing. I will say that I have a couple of my closest friends are also only children. And there is something where we kind of find each other.
Really?
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
And I feel like I'm good at, and I love to be connecting one-on-one with someone.
Right.
And I feel like that there's something that's part and parcel to being an only child.
Probably,
right.
Yeah.
So you don't feel something's missing or anything because you've never known any different. I mean,
yeah.
and you're saving yourself all the headache of shitty siblings, you know?
Sure, there's that.
You
yes,
know,
benefits.
So,
but yeah. No, I think, you know, my friends end up being my siblings. I have wonderful friends and I tend to
nice.
Stay really close with my friends.
Yeah.
What
about your parents? Are you close with them too?
Yeah, I'm close with my parents.
That's
too.
Cool.
I mean, only child, yeah. They obviously spoiled her.
Well, yeah, but still.
Yeah,
I mean,
ruined
people,
for life.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm a terrible person.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, people can, you know, do all kinds of things to stand in the way of their kids' happiness, you know, so.
God, that sounds awful.
No, I know, but that's
but
what
true.
I'm saying.
It's true.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't think you necessarily, if you're an only child, you'll necessarily be close to your parents, you know, so good for you, you know. Childhood, all that was good. Everything was fine.
he always asks people about
their childhood.
Yeah,
because we're semi-psychologists.
That's where
like
all
to
the
know.
Shit starts. Are you kidding?
Well, when I was a child, I was actually a cat. Everything is
everything
you know,
was cool.
I got to where I am.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
We all move through things to get to where we are.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true, but. So what did you do after high school? Did you go to college?
I did. I went to Tufts University
in
Somerville.
Were you trying to be a doctor?
I was not trying to be a doctor. I was a drama and English double major.
Gotcha.
I tried to minor in African American literature and they wouldn't let me.
Because you're white?
No, wouldn't you think? No, because you apparently can't have two majors and a minor. So even though I had all the credits for it, they were like,
yeah.
No, we won't accept
You're
it.
Overly ambitious. You wanted everything
bit.
At
yeah.
the same time.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
That's all right.
Now, did you realize that in English and drama, there may not be a lot of money in it?
Well, you know, I still to this day, you know, I'm also a writer. So I knew I wanted to do something that would encompass something academic, something, you know, having to do with writing and creativity. And always I've been performative my whole life. So for me, getting the double major just let me learn as much as possible. It's a liberal arts college.
Right.
And the idea is just
right.
You know, fill your brain with as much
exactly.
as possible.
Exactly. Become
right.
a better,
yeah.
more educated person.
Yeah.
You know, I actually like these. You know, I don't like having to go in and just study law or medicine or whatever.
Mm.
Or accounting or, you know, anything like that. It's like, I love liberal arts because it's just about everything else, yeah. you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You get music and writing and everything. Drama and right?
Yeah, I mean,
you were always a creative type. You realized that type. That's what yeah. you want to do.
And I also come from an academic family, so finding that balance for me has been important.
Yeah,
there was a heavy stress on academics and sort of, you know, feeding one's brain.
That's good. So it's good to have parents have expectations mm-hmm. of their kids, mm-hmm. right?
I think so. I mean, as long as they're done kindly, right. And I think my influence was really kind in that way. And
And what do you mean they were academics? Were they teachers or professors or anything?
No, my father was a psychiatrist my mom a psychologist.
How was that?
You know, it was fascinating. My father was a psychiatrist for 50 years and wrote incredible books that are quite known in the industry. He wrote The Many Faces of Shame. He wrote Shame and Pride, Affect, Sex, and the Birth of the Self. He wrote Knowing Feeling. He lectured all over the country and all over the world. And when I was a kid, from about 14 or even 12 on, I always forget, but I was actually editing my father's books. So he would finish a chapter of uh-huh. his psychiatric theoretical work and just throw a chapter on my bed and say, proof that
wow,
for me.
How cool.
So it was really normal and natural in my world to be entrenched in psychology.
Right. Right.
And it was wonderful.
So didn't that like make you want to get into psychology too? I mean, you had both parents in that. Hopefully they weren't messing with your head too much.
I was going to say, did they like both like read you, like try to like ask you questions? Yeah. Like, and so how does that make you feel?
Yes, they did. And
that didn't drive you nuts though?
Oh, of course it did. But, you know, that's okay. That's their job. My mom would always sit me down after school and say, so how was it in French class today? Did you get to sit next to Steve? I know you wanted to. And
like, oh my God, yeah. Mom, not on the couch here, you know.
But I mean, it was very loving and I always, you know, was the kid people wanted to talk to about their issues, and it came very naturally. I actually did follow in my parents' footsteps.
Oh, you did. And so you became like an advice giver.
Well, I have a master's in clinical psychology as well.
Oh, wow. Excuse me.
Geez, yeah.
Yeah. So
what
she did
don't
go,
you do?
So you did go for psychology.
I did. Yeah. I went for both. So in the after undergraduate school, I went to New York and I discovered voiceover and did tons of performance and also writing as well.
Yeah.
And then came out to Los Angeles because I had writing opportunities out here.
Really?
And then, nice. So I started writing for a TV show out here. And then, nice. You know, in the middle of all this, just didn't want to miss out on the opportunity to get that degree and really study right. psychology. And so I'm just kind of a firm believer that we are all many things.
Right.
We can do lots of things. We don't have to solely identify as whatever one career or one aspect of our personality would dictate.
That's very true.
I agree with that as well.
Yeah. So you gravitated more to the creative side though, right? Or, I mean, do you practice psychology at all? Mm-hmm. Oh, you do. Mm-hmm. Okay. So music and voiceover is just another thing that you do.
It's really important to me to be able to honor all of those places.
Yeah.
So I didn't, to me, the idea of having, and I was really lucky in the middle of a wonderful entertainment career.
Right.
I decided to go back and get my degree because I really wanted to study and I really wanted to be entrenched in that world, but I didn't want to give up anything I was doing creatively, and I haven't right. had to. I don't sleep very much.
Yeah, that sounds like it. Wow.
But, you know, I enjoy all the things that I do.
Right.
Yeah. Very cool. So you get a full life.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So when you practice psychology, does that mean you have patients? What is it exactly? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, unless you advise the inanimate things in your office, right. you know, then there's got to be people on the other side.
But I have, you know, mostly, you know, in terms of how I've been, you know, more known and out there is really doing voiceover and now the music right. as well. And
so
and
you said, mm-hmm. You said in New York, you got turned on to working with voice, right?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
So when I started out on camera and okay. I was on a soap opera and
that's fun.
It was really fun and very silly.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, have you ever seen a soap opera? I'm like, come on.
I used to when I was a kid and I first discovered them. I was like, because I lived with my aunt. I was 16 years old. Yeah. I came here And she was watching them, so I just sat and watched
them.
That's
all my grandmother used to watch.
Really?
She's obsessed. I'm like, Nana, how do you watch this? Seriously.
It's hypnotic. Yeah. I was on a soap, and it was long before anybody ever told us not to read the comments. So I was like, I'm going to read the comments.
Right.
And it was a happy accident. Somebody said, and I never forgot it, she's real pretty and all, but I have to turn off the volume on my TV because it's like Alvin and the Chipmunks have invaded my living room.
Oh my God.
And I was like, oh, screw you. I'm going to go make money on that. Yeah. If I sound like a cartoon character, I should be doing cartoons.
I don't think you sound like a cartoon character, though.
Well, I think probably at the time I maybe wasn't modulating my voice to a lower place, and
right.
I'm trying to keep it in the less cartoony zone as I have a conversation.
Right.
But, you know, I think regardless, at the time somebody heard something, and I had been represented at the time by CESD, which is where I'm still represented for voiceover and commercial work. And I was rep there as an on-camera person, and I said, hey, can I meet with the voiceover department? Because I think maybe I should be doing this shit.
Yeah. Wow.
I've been trained as an actor and as a singer forever, so let's see if I can do this. And that's when I got that Lifetime gig. It was the first audition I went on.
Wow.
And it was a year-long gig, and it paid my rent.
Wow.
And that was it, and I never looked back.
How great, huh?
You must have been ecstatic. Do on-camera work again, or are you just strictly voice?
I'm really strictly voice. I mean, I do camera work when I'm doing performance capture, motion capture for video games, but otherwise I'm not really on camera these days. I don't really want to be.
Right.
I love the freedom of voiceover. I love not having to be as aware of my like physical appearance as a barrier
right.
to whatever character someone wants me to portray.
Right.
I always joke, you know, you wouldn't look at me and say like, you know who would be great to play that manatee-like, beluga-faced, flippered land and sea creature? Julie Nathanson. But, you know, in the game Guild Wars 2, they were like, Julie's a great Quaggan. And it's, you know, that's the kind of thing you get to do in voiceover is play with... Vocally play with depicting a character.
So
right?
You can change your voice to all different types of voices, or are you strictly like the same kind of monotone every time you do it?
I can do a different voice if you want me to.
Oh my God. Wow.
Like, I mean, if you want me to like be like a kid who's like maybe supposed to be in school, maybe he doesn't go that day.
That's pretty cool.
Or, I don't know. And what do you want to hear?
Oh my God. Sounded like she was five. I don't have the ability to do that.
I do a lot of computer voices too, which is really funny because
really?
I think of myself as a really, I don't know, colorful animated human person.
Right.
Like a Siri or something?
For some reason, I do a lot of computer voices. Like in, literally so many, like in The Punisher, which is a game, and Mighty Number 9, yeah. and Heroes Reborn, and on The Odd Couple, I played like a robot vacuum cleaner, and on Dallas and Robo, I play the computer voice, and so it's a really odd
computer
thing.
Computer voice is like when you put on Google Maps, and it's like Tammy's talking to you, and she's like,
sure.
Go left.
Okay,
yeah,
do
stuff
it,
like
do
that.
It.
Okay.
So we go.
Commencing retinal scan. Retinal scan complete. It appears you do not have clearance for this sector. Kindly remove yourself, or I shall do it for you.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
It's creepy.
You're really good at the robot voice.
But it's true. That's the way it is.
Yeah,
you know?
That's exactly how they sound in like all types of things.
Yeah, I know. That's interesting. Now, how did you get fortunate enough to get that soap opera gig that you got in the beginning, because that's how it started, right? And I'm wondering how
everything happens for a reason, Sam.
Yeah, but she moved, you know, she moved, and then you get something cool like that.
I feel like I could get onto a soap opera.
There aren't enough left.
There's like so many. It's like
them.
The same one. What is it? All Married, which, what is the one that's like?
All Married, All My Children.
Yeah.
I think General Hospital.
General Hospital. Yes, that's the one my grandmother watched.
But I really like that Married with Children became for you.
Yeah.
So popular.
I don't know. I don't know why I just thought of that.
She needs at least one or two brain farts a show, or it doesn't go very well.
Well, what's who's the daughter on that? That was good looking. Her name is
Christina Applegate.
Yeah, she was in Bad Moms.
Yeah.
Yes. She was a bitch on there. You hated her character.
I love that movie.
I love
that. Did you see Bad Mom's Christmas?
I did. It wasn't as good as the first one, though.
I still laughed my face off.
Yeah, it was still funny, but it was. I feel like they were like really trying too hard to write the script. Like, it was just really unrealistic to me. The first one was so good. I've seen the first one probably like 10, 15 times.
It's really funny.
So good. And I still to this day piss my pants every time I watch it. If it weren't, it's like kind of watching like a Hangover. It's like if they didn't have that exact cast, it probably wouldn't have worked.
Wouldn't have worked the same. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Then I'll have to catch that movie.
You've never seen it?
Well, both of them.
You would like it. It's just a bunch of good looking women who are moms, though.
Okay.
Acting ridiculous.
What do I care if they're moms or not? Yeah. Or if they're good looking or not? It doesn't matter.
You
care. It's a good movie. Nah. If it's a good movie, I'll watch it.
You should watch it, though, for real. But it's going to take you 5 years, so start now.
Okay. Yeah. She does.
Especially since you didn't finish a spy movie.
I know.
I did hear that.
Mm-hmm. You did.
Mm-hmm. It frightened me about you. Where is your follow through, Sam?
I do follow through. It just takes a few days, you know.
It takes me like literally just that amount of time to finish the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would imagine, you know, being a voice actress, you obviously have to act even harder when people don't see you, right? Because you have to convey everything through the voice.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I would say easier or harder, but it's a different muscle. And
I would think it would be easier, right?
So it depends on your perspective, right?
Right.
So why would you think it's easier?
I would think it was easier because, like, no, I feel like you could, if they had the right equipment, you could work from home, right, in your pajamas.
Oh, there's that. Yes, I do.
Yeah. So it's like if you're by yourself in the comfort of your home, absolutely, literally, no one is there to judge you. You just do
as many. I'm talking about the nature of the work, not where you sit to do it.
Yeah, but even the nature of the work, you can have as much time as you possibly can to be like, okay, let me get into this character and let me bang it out, as opposed to being like on set where it's like you're 20 takes in. They're like, bitch, get your shit together. We're already 20 takes in. This costs a lot of money to do this.
Right.
I feel like it would be easier.
That makes sense too. Yeah,
I mean, it's a lot of talent, but both are a lot of talent.
Yeah,
I just
yeah.
feel like it would be easier to be like in the comfort of your home. Like if I could do voice acting, I would totally fucking do it.
Really?
Yeah.
You use your voice all the time.
Yeah, but I mean, I can't change it. It's just this monotone, boring ass radio voice.
If you can't change it.
Yeah.
How did you know?
If you wanted to.
So because I'm trained as a singer.
See, I think you have to be a singer to be able to do it. Like Ariana Grande, I first found her on YouTube before she was on Disney, and she could literally recreate every single actress. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, she has a wonderful mimics ear.
Yeah.
She's a wonderful.
Like it's insane. It almost gives you goosebumps.
And
like,
I love hearing her sing her imitations. They're really wonderful.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think all, I certainly don't think that all voice actors are musical. For me, the musicality is helpful.
Yeah.
If I'm doing voice matching, I feel like I'm listening to the music, the cadence of the previous voice that I'm trying to match.
Voice matching is if you hear someone that's already, like, give an example of that.
So for example, sometimes when you hear or watch a trailer for a movie, occasionally they might want to splice together some lines that maybe were not as fluid in the film itself, but they want to make it seem like that was exactly a line in the movie, or maybe hear that actor say something that's slightly different.
Mm.
So you'd have someone come in potentially and replace that voice
and
sound just like them. So that when you watch the trailer, it seems like that actor is actually still speaking.
Right.
That happens, you know, also in, you know, sometimes needing to replace somebody for ADR for a film or TV show if they can't be there to do their looping, which is putting the voice to picture. And there are lots of other instances. But for me, listening to the cadence, listening to even the notes of how someone speaks. So I just said, even the notes of how someone speaks, and I'll do it. Do 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 do. Right. So if I were trying to voice match myself, I'd be listening to the cadence. I'd be listening to the notes.
That's true. You see, there's so much to it. You
know,
that we know nothing about. All we do is talk, but we don't think about all the audio things.
So I think music was definitely helpful for me, but I had at the end of college, we did this. Something with our theater group at college, sort of roasting the people who were, I guess, leaving. And I remember getting on the stage and doing imitations of a couple of different girls just as part of what we were doing. And part of what I did was absolutely like infusing their voice into my body.
Right.
And I found, I was like, oh, that really easily came out for me.
Right.
And I could sort of tell that was a match and a mimicry that I could do. And so, that also felt like something, I don't know, that I, again, when someone insulted me, I was like, I think I can probably make this work.
Right.
But it was also just because I had so much acting training too. I mean,
right.
you know, there are a lot of people who say, you know, I've got a really cool voice. Can I do voiceover? And I'm like, I don't know. Are you an actor?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, can you, why don't you take some acting classes and we'll see? And they're like, no, my voice is really cool. And that's awesome. And it's really exciting and it is so much fun. And it does take training. It does take, you know, study like anything else.
It's work. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a business, you know, for sure. Mm. Wow. Very interesting stuff. So, and you've done a lot of things, right? I mean, as far as like animation movies, because I always wondered about this, you know, when you do the voices, sometimes you'll get to be with the same room as the other actors or, right? But sometimes you don't have to be, right?
Right.
Yeah.
See, I think doing animation must be hard.
Why is that?
Because creating the animation itself.
No, I mean being the voice for an animation.
Oh, okay.
Like even, okay, for instance, what's the most recent one I watched? I watched...
Coco was or something?
No, but I heard Coco was so good.
I know.
It's amazing.
My sister said it was incredible and she cried like from beginning to end.
That's what everybody says. So my son and I bought the DVD.
I still feel like crying. I haven't felt like crying, so I haven't watched it.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm already emotional. Like, I don't want to cry. But my sister called me and she was crying and I go, why are you crying? She goes, I just watched the movie Coco. You have to watch it.
I know. It's sort of like the underrated... most underrated film in the world.
No,
you know,
didn't it win? Like
it did really well.
It did win, but it's like it was sort of under the radar.
Yeah.
A lot of people haven't heard of it. And I knew almost every Pixar movie, and I didn't remember Coco.
There's a lot of Pixar movies that came out recently that when you go to Redbox, I'm like, when did this come out?
Yeah, there are some, but...
But for instance, okay, let's say Momoma.
We're not letting our guests talk.
Moana.
Moana.
My God.
What were you going to say? We just interrupted you so rudely.
No, actually, I was curious why you thought that that animation voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like I watched that one and I was just thinking like you have to literally like imagine yourself being in the situation that you're... I feel like that might be hard.
Yeah.
Maybe not doing like a robot voice because it's easy, but like when you actually have to imagine yourself being on a boat in the middle of the ocean fighting off a witch that doesn't actually exist.
Yeah.
I imagine that being kind of difficult.
So that's such a great point. And again, like the concept of easy, hard, I know that should be first and foremost in my mind. It isn't. It's more of like challenging and imaginative.
Right.
So for me, I love playing in that sandbox where you can't see anything but the sand.
Right.
So all I see around me is this, you know, padded room.
Right.
Right. and I have to imagine. And if it's a cartoon, I'm imagining, you know, what's happening around me. And sometimes there's nobody reading the other lines. I'm just reading my lines down the page.
Right.
Sometimes there are other actors in the room. A lot of the time there aren't. Right. But for video games, it's almost always just reading my lines down the page and not having a ton of context. There's no way to read an entire script for a video game.
No, yeah.
It
would
be impossible.
Yeah.
Right.
Or at least for those of us.
Because it's not linear. I mean, there's a lot of different...
Yeah.
It's also how, for so many of these games, it would be such a vast number of pages.
Yeah.
And non-linear as well. So it's having to really trust the director to tell me whatever context I need, whatever attitude I need to be, you know, imparting and imbuing in the character.
Right.
And really just staying in that reality.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you're right. Being able to imagine if it's combat, you know, that there are 1,000 soldiers around me and I'm, you know, ducking for cover and throwing a grenade. I mean, and that's, you know, that's in my imagination. That's the sandbox.
Right.
So like in like movies, like Sam was saying, when actors are in the room versus when they're not. So like if you have a scene in like an animated movie where like say in Simba's dad died in The Lion King, if the actor's not in the room with you, how do they like edit it so it seems like...
Well, they probably... Don't you hear the other people in your headphones maybe or something?
Well, somebody has to go first.
Exactly. That's true. That's
okay.
What she's asking.
Okay. Well, so how'd you know that? No, have you done some voiceover work, Sam, that
we don't
know
about?
I worked in animation.
I mean by that is that sometimes you're the first person doing that scene, so there's nobody
true.
To play off of.
Right.
Sometimes if it's, you know, depending on the project...
But does somebody read you back their lines or something?
Sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't. Again, it depends on the project. But for an emotional scene like that, I would imagine there'd be somebody reading off of you.
Yeah.
And yes, if it's available, depending on the project, you might be able to hear the other performer. But yeah, a lot of it, again, is being able to make it real for yourself.
Yeah. Wow. That sounds like a lot of fun. You know, I mean, obviously you're having a blast.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And you have... a positive outlook on life, as you should as a psychologist.
I know.
Well, no, like, but you know, describing everything. No, it's like padded room, sandy box.
She's gonna put us in a padded room for sure. But no, I heard psychologists and psychiatrists have the highest suicide rate. No,
I'm not sure about that. And technically speaking, I'm not a psychologist, but I will. Yes.
What's the difference between a psychiatrist and a psychologist?
A psychiatrist can prescribe. A psychiatrist is a medical doctor.
Right. It's a doctor that puts together. They don't even sit and talk to you anymore. It's not like in the movies. Psychiatrists just sit down with their computer, do 1 + 1 = 2, and they dispense the medication, right?
Well, that's...
I mean, it's a little cynical, but that's the way I see it.
It has changed quite a bit, and that is sort of the more the norm than it had been. But yeah, my dad did all like long full sessions of talking.
Right. Really?
Yeah.
He can prescribe.
He was a dinosaur.
He can prescribe medication, but psychologists cannot.
Correct.
So then, what's the point of a psychologist then?
Well, that's like a therapist. Therapy. Yeah. Therapy.
But then they tell your primary care, "Yo, this bitch needs meds." Or
depends. There can be collaboration between those. It can just be, you know, not everybody needs meds, so it might be that you're going to see somebody just to do talk therapy and to collaborate and try to work some stuff out. So going to a talk therapist, which would be like, you know, a licensed professional counselor or an MFT or a social worker or a psychologist.
Right.
Those are really for that kind of talk therapy and processing.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Do you use any specific approach like behaviorism, cognitive? No, you just sit and you talk to the people.
I like to talk.
Yes. Good. And you're always okay. Anyway, all right. Well, let's get to your music a little bit. You also love yourself being a singer and a songwriter. When did that come about for you early on in life?
Yeah, the songwriting is not really so much a part of my life. I do have an
original. The singing is
coming out soon. Yes, the singing is.
Okay.
I grew up in, again, comes back to childhood, just like you said.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's why I always go back there.
Always back to childhood. My father and my stepmom loved grand opera, so I grew up with such an affinity for classical music.
Wow,
and my mom is still a blues harmonica player.
Really?
Yeah, she opened for John Lee Hooker back in the day, and I'm always so proud of that. She's such a badass. It's amazing. So music has always been a part of my life, and I tried a bunch of instruments, but my left and right don't want to talk to each other.
Right.
So like I couldn't make an instrument work for myself, and singing was always so available to me.
Yeah.
So I started out studying classically, and so I'm trained really as a classical, or even more toward the opera.
Yeah.
Singing, and I did lots of musical theater growing up, and then just kind of continued. It's not something that has been a focus for me in terms of sort of career pursuit, but it's always been a part of my life.
You love something like that, yeah. And okay, so I'm curious to listen to you sing now that we've talked about your voice so much.
I hope it's worth the wait, man.
Well, let's hope so. So tell us a little bit about this clip, Wise Up. It's a cover. Tell us a little bit about the story in this song and why you decided on this one.
Yeah, so when I saw the movie Magnolia when it first came out.
Why does that sound so familiar? Give me a brief.
It's an incredible movie. It's a movie in which...
Who's in it?
Well, Tom Cruise has a really notable role in it, where he plays this like motivational speaker for men. And Julianne Moore is in it.
I think I might have seen it.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Rest in peace.
It has, yeah. It has sort of that... that feeling of like several smaller stories
coming together as
that
one.
Are connected in some way, interconnected, and it's just this movie really grabbed hold of me.
Mm-hmm.
And Amy Mann did all of the music for the movie, and this song "Wise Up" was a really core piece in the film.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the movie. It's, I don't know, I want to say like 3 hours long, and I couldn't leave the theater.
Really?
I just sat in my seat and watched it again and waited for the, I was really taken by it. And this song has been really meaningful to me at different points in my life. And
yeah.
And I think, you know, in the film and most likely in its intent, seems to be somebody singing to someone who might be struggling with substance addiction. For me, I've heard it as somebody talking to herself. So there's something about wanting to tell yourself to wise up and to...
So this is a cover?
It's a cover. Oh. Yeah. It's a cover of this song I've always loved. Right. I wanted to tell it from more of an introspective position.
Right.
Just a slightly different emotional bent on the song.
Right.
But
yeah. Now, Amy Mann was in Till Tuesday, right? Is that the group she was in?
That is correct.
Okay. You know who she was?
Nope, not a clue. No,
you probably know the song, though. But not this one.
Yeah.
But they're hits.
Yeah, probably.
At any rate, okay, so Julie Nathanson, we're going to hear her cover of Wise Up.
What you thought when you first began, and you got what you want. Now you can hardly stand it, though, and now you know it's not. It's not going to stop. It's not going to stop till you wise up. You're sure they're secure.
I mean, you
have
really
a really, really
well,
nice voice.
You know?
I wasn't actually expecting that. Not gonna lie. You have a really, really good voice.
Why? She seems to be
you
a bit...
You expected Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Yeah, I expected it to be like high-pitched almost. Not that your voice is high-pitched, but I didn't think you would have that type of monotone when you're singing. That song is really, really good.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you put a lot into it, you know?
Definitely sounds like a movie song.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like something drastic just happened and they're like, play this.
Well, that I'm you know, that's something I would love to see mm-hmm. happen with this song is for it to get, you know, perhaps placed in television or film
right.
as a cover. Right. But, you know, I just, for whatever happens with it, I just felt passionately about
right.
recording the song.
And I mean, so yeah, I can definitely see yeah. someone like walking down the street in the rain or something to this yeah. for sure.
Yeah.
Like it's a very sad, because it sounds sad. All yeah. of it from beginning to end sounds mm-hmm. sad.
And who collaborated with you on recording this?
I had Dan Long produced it uh-huh. with me for me. Matt Lesser did wonderful percussion. Mickey Caputo did bass. I had Peter Smith did piano.
Right. So we gave credit to about everybody.
Did mastering. Yeah, I had a really wonderful group of artists who worked with me on this.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. You're very fortunate, you know. And not only that, but it seems like you're making your life. You're making your path, you know. So it's not like you're just following and waiting for things mm-hmm. to happen, you know.
Yeah.
You're taking directions and you know where you're going. And I admire that. I mean, that's amazing. And the fun part is that you're so into the voices, you know.
It's really fun. I don't know. Yeah. I definitely
can you do
like
accents and stuff too?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. You must, right? Mm-hmm. You must have to.
I do.
What about, did you have to go to a speech coach or things like that to help you professionally with this?
I have done a little bit of accent training, but a lot of it, again, comes down to, I think, that same muscle around music for me. So I definitely have a good ear for accents. There are a couple of resources that I use to really hear an accent and then see if I can hit it.
Right.
Yeah. I do, for some reason, I book a lot of Russian, which it's don't tell anyone, but it's usually Ukrainian when I do it.
anything is better than what Jennifer Lawrence did in the movie. Her Russian accent is terrible. Yeah. In Red Sparrow. You'll have to catch that.
You only saw half the movie.
That doesn't matter.
What if it gets better at the end?
Maybe
don't
it does.
Know.
Oh, okay. See, she just gave away the friggin' story.
No.
Yeah, because she's probably not Russian now. Okay. Never mind.
No,
go
no,
ahead.
She's definitely Russian. She for is? The whole movie, yeah.
Okay. 120 right. giving you shit.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, yes. though. Could you, if I wanted to have a like, indistinguishable American accent, for example. Could you help me with that?
Oh, that's something I don't think I have the authority to do.
No, I'm not saying that like on a not like on a professional level, but I mean, is that where you're at? I mean, you're able to notice the inflections and things about language
yeah.
and accent that you could that you understand. I mean, yeah. you understand them.
I think yeah.
what it takes, you know.
I think it's different for people to teach someone how to get rid of an accent. No,
because you're just learning an accent.
Yeah, I mean, I guess a lot of British actors have no problem being American in film, which I think is so mind-blowing. Yeah.
I find that amazing.
Yeah.
I find that completely amazing.
Like, you would have, like, if I never knew, like, for the longest time, I had no idea Gerald Butler had a accent.
Really?
I was like, oh, who's this?
Yeah, because they do that very well. Yeah.
Yeah, and then same in an interview, I was like, wait, what?
I know.
So confused.
Yeah, all these Australians, you know, Mel Gibson and...
Mel Gibson has an accent?
Of course.
To this day, I've never seen an interview with him.
No?
He used to be
Doesn't
one of my...
Does he have an accent?
I don't think he does. Does he?
He comes from another country,
I'm
doesn't
just
he?
Gonna no
from Australia?
On this one.
Okay, whatever.
No?
No, she doesn't want to talk about it.
Oh, you hate him.
Doesn't
I mean,
matter.
Yeah, I mean, he really fell off the bandwagon, which is crazy because he used to be one of my favorite actors. Like, he did a lot
yeah.
of like classic movies back in the day.
Yeah.
Like Ransom, is that
right.
what it's called?
But Russell Crowe also has an accent, and he
Russell
speaks
Crowe.
Like an American. Not Russell Crowe, what's his name?
Russell Crowe does have an accent.
Yeah.
The one who played Robin Hood.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's
Did
not
he
my
play
fave.
Robin Hood?
Yeah,
I don't know.
He's not my favorite.
He played a lot of people. Yeah.
Mm.
It's funny how this younger generation sees totally different things from what I see.
I mean,
you know?
Don't even watch movies. So it's
I
hard
mean,
to like
me,
be on the same
for
page.
For me, Russell Crowe did like The Gladiator and shit. That's like older, you know?
I saw The Gladiator.
Right.
I just haven't. No, I saw.
What about stuff before that?
Well, what do you mean?
Did you see like the.
No, I didn't see Gladiator. I saw 300 with Gerald Butler.
Okay.
You know the part when he's kicks the.
No, I didn't see that.
Like a
one,
lot of men fighting.
Just
yeah. I saw the men fighting movie.
Yeah.
Exactly. Who cares what it was, right?
Have you even seen Den of Thieves?
No, I don't think so.
Wow.
Yeah, is it good?
I thought it was pretty badass.
Okay.
It's long.
I'll
Gerald Butler's it. In there. His character is literally one of the most yeah. frustrating things
it's
in the
movie. Gerard. No, not Gerald.
Gerald.
She's saying it with an accent.
So. Yes, exactly. He's aging magnificently.
Julie Nathanson, definitely multi-talented, very interesting woman.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us how people can find you, how they can find your music, the stuff, follow you. I imagine on Instagram you can't showcase as much of your voice as you can.
I'm still trying to get into the swing of Instagram. I got into it late. I'm so into words
right.
more than I am pictures.
Right.
Yeah, but you got to get with the age.
I got to get with the age, right? So I had some friends really peer pressure me into it. So I'm getting better at it. So I'm Julie_Nathanson on Instagram and on Twitter, Julie_Nathanson.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty active on Twitter. Again, I like the words. I don't actually have a public Facebook page yet. It's a lot to manage. I know I'm supposed to do that.
Yeah,
too.
No, you're not supposed to do
I told you,
anything.
Nobody uses Facebook, brah.
No, I don't agree. But there's still the biggest one, the biggest social network
yeah,
by far.
Yeah, but it's the biggest one because everyone needs it to download every other app.
No, that's not
No, it's true. Every single app I have,
but,
I need
but
Facebook.
But what I'm saying, it's by far bigger, you know? That's what I'm saying. It's not like just a little bit.
It's getting out of control. Anytime I even like go on there for a split second, it's like somebody dying or like
right.
the videos are just out of control. What
yeah.
they're allowing on there.
That and also all the trolling and the name calling.
Well, I mean, that's every social media, though.
Yeah.
Like, Facebook did that commercial now. Did you see their commercial?
But Facebook gives you a long play. I mean, a lot of space to write.
Yeah.
So you can.
I mean, you can write endlessly. You can write like a book on there, and they're like, enjoy.
What were you just asking?
Did you see Facebook's commercial?
No.
It was like, hey, it was like this whole dramatic thing, and then it was like, and then people were making catfish pages, and then people were doing too, and it was like just a clutter of all the stuff that's wrong with Facebook, and they're like, we're trying to make this like friendly again. I'm like, bitches, what have you done? Because it's still crap. But they've been promoting that like nonstop for months.
Yeah. Julie, sounds great. You know, I mean, did we miss anything that you want to still plug or anything like that? Because we're totally out of time.
Let's see. You can get my cover of Wise Up. You can find it on Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud.
YouTube
as well. Mm. I have a new YouTube channel. Still trying to get with it.
Yeah. YouTube is very important. Definitely put all your covers on there.
I'm working.
All it takes is one person to click on that.
Will they let you, though? I mean, do covers? Because they don't
you
want
do,
the
but
same
you can't get paid.
No. You sure?
Yeah. So you can upload any cover you want, but you can't monetize the video.
I went through the right channels to do this cover, so I have permission.
Good for you.
I have permission to do it. I wouldn't have gone this far with it. It's also just, you know, I wanted to respect Amy Mann again. She's an artist I admire so much.
Was she the one that wrote it?
Yeah, she created the song. She and sang and performed the original and wrote it. So yes, and that's perfectly
fine.
Cool. And you can also go to my website, which is julienathanson.com. Cool. Now I think I have nothing left to plug.
Okay. And are you in any cool games that are coming out or anything that we can hear
you
on?
Stuff can't talk about. That's what happens.
Oh, okay.
So that's the one really boring thing
about contracts,
bringing voice actors on. It's you know, I can tell you about the stuff I've already done.
But
the stuff that's coming up in the future, I'm sworn to secrecy and I refuse to jeopardize my job.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, I would never either.
But we insist you jeopardize your job.
Yeah, tell us now. Yeah.
I will not succumb to your pressure.
I think we'll be able to go home without that information.
Yeah.
We'll be just fine. Julie Nathanson, thank you so much for joining us. You're amazing. We wish you much continued success to you.
Thank you.
Everybody check out the website. And you'll have to come back. There's so much more still to talk about.
Thank you so much for having me on. This was a lovely conversation.
Thank you. Danny, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you all on Monday.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.